Sky Broadcasting presents Heartwood, starring Hilary Swank as Sylvia Orsini, Jason Robards as Logan Risa, and Eddie Mills as Frank Burris. Directed by Lanny Kotler. Produced by Steve Kotler. Voiced by Willow Nash on behalf of MCS Agency. It takes 45 minutes to cut down a 2,000-year-old redwood tree. This film is about 90 minutes long.
This is the story of how I fell in love, once and forever. It starts 15 years ago, in a forest, in my sawmill town, DeRoy, California, population 254, where the trees are more than a livelihood, they're a way of life. Back then, DeRoy was threatened by a faceless corporation that wanted to take over the mill, clear-cut the trees, and then move out, leaving nothing. No jobs, no trees, no town, and no way to put it back together. You can cut trees and they'll grow back, but once you cut a forest, it's gone forever. I remember the day I grew up. I was out walking with old man Reeser, my teacher, my friend, the owner of the sawmill.
See that ridge? My old man found color there. And a year later, the Hayter brothers brought in water cannon and tore the bones off of those hillsides. There wasn't much gold. Played out fast. Skipped a couple of lunches, stuttered, and died.
And you were 3 years old, and your dad built the sawmill.
You know all my stories, huh?
Well.
Almost. I thought there was more gold. After war, I came and looked. I lived right there in that trailer, in that spot for 2 years. But my papa was right.
There was no gold.
So I came back here today to remind myself what death looks like.
Back down in the town, a Mercedes car screeches up to the front of the general store, sending a cloud of dust flying into the air. Two men get out.
The old man once described Jerry Talbot as a cross between a jackal and a pig, a predator who didn't know when to stop eating.
Well, I'm going to save his ass. The old man better get it down here.
Up at the sawmill, old man Risa climbs into a battered old Jeep.
Going hunting today?
I was thinking maybe, yeah.
Saw those wild turkeys working the ridge above the mill.
I'll get you one.
That big tree next to my father, I want you to bury me under that tree when I die. Without a casket.
Frank, the young boy, looks momentarily stunned.
Me?
Kick down. John, you lead the inspection. Hell with Risa.
The three men get into the Mercedes. Frank runs to the foot of a gigantic tree and begins to scale it using a rope until he reaches a platform built halfway up. A ladder leads from this to another platform higher still. Frank climbs it.
Everyone in DeRoy worked at Reeser's mill. Everyone but me. I hung out. Yeah, that's the way to say it. In the woods and way up in a really great treehouse my brother Dixon built when he was 15. Up till that summer, I was, like my brothers Mike and Ray, unaware of anything larger than my own small life.
Get your fingers out of my coffin.
You're burning my fingers.
I gotta fix my hat.
What, you gotta look pretty?
Yeah, well, maybe I have a little more fashion sense than you do.
There's the coffee, all right?
The younger of the two brothers throws the scalding coffee on the floor and marches off. The older brother tries to snatch his brother's coffee from him. The logging lorries trundle around the sawmill. Inside, Jerry Talbot carries out his inspection.
Money is not the only thing. I grew up in this town. How do I know you're gonna win?
This is where I got Reeser. You want to run this mill? Huh?
Do you?
You, Johnny John. You are in exactly the right place at the right time. He's going down.
Reeser's mill was stretched thin. My dad smelled it.
Well, you hip, Bob, ain't you?
Well, I'll live with it. My old man worked till he was 70. My son will say the same thing about me.
Who's, the guy up there with Johnny? That's, Jerry Talbot, Timber Banking Corp. The other guy, Orsini something, I don't know, some kind of a mill efficiency expert.
Are we in the soup again?
Nah. Nothing that higher lumber prices won't fix, and they're coming. Yeah. Take care, Carl.
Dixon?
Joe Orsini came to the mill working for Talbot. We naturally assumed he was the enemy.
You Orsini?
That's right, the name's Joe.
Well, come on, I suppose you want to see our primary first.
A lifting truck transports raw logs in its jaws outside, while inside men take cut wood from the conveyor belt and put it into piles. Jerry Talbot argues with Risa.
If I wanted to cut my trees faster, I wouldn't be using them as collateral with you, would I?
Look, the loan is already in default. Now we restructure it, longer terms, lower payments, but with a more aggressive harvest or El Fondo.
Frank runs down a hill, his gun in his hand. He suddenly slows when he spots a rabbit moving slowly amongst the debris of a tree-felled area.
Opinion, Mr. Talbot. Money lenders are kind of like sorcerers. They cast these cash spells that make you either stronger or weaker. Yeah, I'll go with your deal, but I don't wonder what kind of spell you're working on me.
Frank takes a shot at the rabbit sitting by an old rusty saw blade.
What's going on?
What
the hell, Frank?
The ambulance speeds away with Talbot inside. Risa and Frank go to inspect the saw blade near where the rabbit had been.
It was a rabbit. It wasn't even close to the debarker. I mean, way over there.
Show me.
I don't know. I was just standing on the ridge there, and I was aiming at a rabbit. There was a rabbit. It was right here, and I shot.
Wait, from there to here.
Yeah, I mean it was a rabbit. It was right here. It's just that's all.
Wait,
I shot at him.
Here.
Risa picks up the blade, which has a bullet scuff mark on it.
You brought him down.
We brought him down. What are you talking about?
I couldn't. Shooting Talbot. Listen to me. You just saved me from making a big mistake, boy.
What are you doing?
No. Right in the center of the storm, boy. There are no accidents. Come on.
Frank and Risa walk away. Later, Frank runs through the cool green of the forest, leaping over soft bunches of ferns. He scrambles down a hillside and through the undergrowth, onto a path, and then through a stream to a wooden house deep in the trees, his family home.
Deputy Keller's gonna arrest Frank.
Oh yeah, who told you?
It was an accident.
I've never heard of no bullet ricocheting around a corner like that.
If the dude dies, Frank will be guilty of murder.
Quiet!
No way, man. It's manslaughter.
The same difference.
No, one's the gas chamber, the other one's like...
Now stop it! I mean it!
If he had a job, he wouldn't be out pop-gunning rabbits.
Frank does a lot of things for a lot of people, and he gets paid.
Now, which one of you two could actually go over and reset the shoes on Lila Winter's horse, huh?
I also heard he's been starching Miss Huff's undies, too.
Yes, sir.
Shit!
I appreciate it. I got my own.
Is that man gonna be all right?
Okay. Great. Thank you.
I don't care what you hunt, when you hunt, or where you hunt. By God, I won't have you arrested for nothing. This family's in enough trouble. You understand that?
I got the job. It's a 40-mile drive, but it's in a machine shop with real pros.
I don't know how it could have happened.
That's the goddamn problem. You don't know nothing. You don't do nothing. That man was some money. You screwed this whole town. Don't you
Dad,
get your ass out there now.
It's gonna be 5 years since Pop whipped him last.
Yeah, old man tried to whip me up. Deckard.
You dick.
Enough!
Frank's father pushes him outside the house and then grabs his shoulder and hauls him around, brandishing a whip. Frank quickly and deftly twists it around his father's wrists and runs away. Frank's father gets free and lashes out with the whip in frustration.
Yeah, hold.
Joe Orsini talks on his mobile outside as his daughter approaches.
Is he all right? Is Mom coming back soon?
Yeah, go ahead.
Orsini's daughter Sylvia just happened to be with him that day. If I thought my life changed with that ricochet, I didn't know the half of it.
Mr. Reeser, what a beautiful home you have.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that man's gonna be okay.
That man's never gonna be okay. Hey, come on, walk with me.
Well, my dad told me that they were coming up here.
I didn't really care.
But then I found out how close Roy was to Willits, where there's this fantastic woman vet who's doing things that no one's even heard of yet. So I called her up, and I told her she had to let me come visit.
Some people know what they want.
My mom. Me. Maybe you.
Sylvia runs to a barn and the sound of the horse.
You go right in. Yeah. Yeah, you got the touch. Maybe.
Easy.
I bet it was a snake. Not mice, huh?
Snake?
Her name's Filigree.
Filigree.
Yeah, nobody rides her anymore. It's a damn shame.
Get your gear, sweetheart. Your mom's here.
Okay, just a sec.
I spoke with Talbot. He's gonna be okay, but he has been seriously pissed off mother before. He said that...
The refinancing is off.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry about that, but you know, he's...
He told you that he's gonna just wait till I go belly up so he can take me over for half on the dollar. What he really wants is to clear-cut my trees, grade out my lumber, turn all this into vineyards and yuppie summer stroll ranchettes. Talbot and maybe you, Joe, look on my mill in this town as dead weight. You don't see, this forest includes families who feel good about living here, growing up their kids here.
Mr. Reeser, the fact is, I do see how your mill could actually make a profit. I mean, no matter what Talbot says. He fired me. I was just a hired gun anyways. Look, sir, you could put in 3-axis scanning on your head rig carriage, new wheels, resurface the rails. You put in a ring debarker to replace your old Rosser head and increase recovery by 3%, maybe even 4%. You put in a spline McGehee edger, you could add another 6% recovery. It's not a lot of cash, and I guarantee you...
Runs in the family, doesn't it? Huh? Passion. You're all gonna stay.
I'm staying the night.
Well, yeah, I guess.
It is night, and Risa is joined by Joe on the front porch with a beer.
Where are you going from here?
You know, I always seem to be able to find a job. You know, moving around, keeping my options open. Like a buffalo cruising across the prairie.
More like a wolf. Predators come around here before, you know.
hacks and bankers. It's...
Look what happened up north after money men like Talbot, not timbermen, took over Triplet Lumber. They raided the pension fund, clear-cut those trees, shipped the whole goddamn mill down to Mexico. Folks went hungry up there for the first time.
Yeah, but Triplet didn't have a man as tough and dedicated as Logan J. Reeser.
Oh, bullshit. I ain't enough. Well, I used to be enough, but I ain't enough anymore. I used to be.
Well, then you ought to just hire me.
Reeser grumpily sups his beer. Then he raises his eyebrows in realization and turns to look at Joe. His face falls into a smile as he nods. The next morning, a sheriff's car pulls up outside the sheriff's office. Frank is there waiting for him. The sheriff guides Frank inside.
That guy Talbot's already bayoneted our county supervisor.
And my boss, the Lord High Sheriff. Damn it, Frank. I got about 7 different county and state ordinances that I could use to snap your ass to the tarmac. Reeser, he dug in for you. And I'm gonna drop it, Frank.
Go on.
Frank rises and picks up his gun.
No evidence.
Frank runs down a hill into his yard, carrying a bow and arrows. His brother is working on the engine of his truck.
I'm gonna be late my first date.
Points are gone.
Dad! I need your truck! Carl! I need your keys.
In the truck.
Maybe bad gas. The only bad gas around here is you. You don't do anything except for come home for meals. You know so much about trucks? Fix mine. Become a mechanic. Carry your load. Get a job.
Frank's older brother is stopped by his pregnant wife as he goes to leave and he kisses her goodbye. Carl, Frank's father, touches her hand reassuringly.
Let's go, Frank.
Frank follows his father.
You're a strange boy. You're not a logger or a sawyer, are you? Yeah, you remember when I hurt this hip? It was a hook tender, huh? He was 5'6", and I had 4 little hungries to feed. Maybe the best thing for a boy like you is to join the army. Now, I know you think that's all a crap, but the truth is, I wished I'd had somebody tell me when I was... You join the army, and the system takes care of you. You don't worry about nothing. Uncle Sam pays for everything, buys your clothes, pays your rent, fixes your teeth. 20 years, you retire.
I know you don't have much of a connection to Christ yet, but I think, well, I want you to think about, just think about, maybe becoming a priest.
A priest?
A priest? Mom, are you crazy? What are you thinking? Who do you think I am? I shot a man in the face.
It was an accident.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe either. Mom, I'm moving out.
You can have my room for the new baby.
You want to live at the mine?
Well, it's either that or... get a job as a priest for the army.
Hold on.
Hey, Violet, hurry. Nancy's water's broke.
Oh, I'll get my bag.
Hey, Frank.
Logan, take those potatoes off around.
Why?
Well, she's a midwife again. You're going to be an uncle. Here.
David Copperfield? I'm not going to read this old book.
Said, you know, you got a lot of energy, but not much focus. Now, look, just read the first line. Right there, out loud.
Whether I shall turn out to be the hero of my own life or whether that station will be held by anybody else, these pages must show. So?
Look, before you make any of the choices being thrown at you, there's one important one you've got to make. Who's going to be the hero?
Frank contemplates the answer. In the church, Risa is holding Nancy's newborn child.
I do love babies. And to be a godfather again. Well, there's nothing like a new child born to charge the blood with hope and energy. We got new life here. We got Charlotte Marie Burris. Our world is changing. Tough times again here in the woods. Now, some people blame spotted owls, which seems dumb to me. Some overseas competitors. And others point the finger at corporate raiders. Now, I usually go for that one. Look, redwoods have shallow roots, really shallow roots. But they spread out and intertwine. And in the grove, each tree holds the others up. Charlotte here reminds us of that. Well, that's the end of the sermon.
A christening party is in full swing in the garden of the Burris house. Children run happily in the sunshine. Nancy holds her newborn and chats with her mother-in-law. Joe chats with Carl Burris. Sylvia coos over the new baby.
I can't tell you how good it is to have a girl child.
Sylvia turns away from the baby and suddenly catches the eye of Frank watching her coyly from the porch. She looks wary.
Be sorry, man. Got no manners.
Lawman of the West? For real?
Yes, ma'am. Right down to my six-shooter. Deputy James J. Keller, Mendocino County Sheriff's Department. Uncle Sam's Marines retired. At your service.
Sylvia shakes hands with the sheriff. Frank watches from afar.
What is this piece of junk? It's just mill ends. It's going to be a playpen.
Wait a minute. This isn't junk.
There's not one thing, not a measurement or an angle that Dixon hasn't thought out.
Dixon smiles at his brother's loyalty. John approaches Sylvia.
Remember me?
Oh, yeah.
We never got introduced. I'm John.
I'm Sylvia.
Most everyone calls him Johnny Perfecto.
Why is that?
His last name's perfect. Maybe a couple other reasons. I'm head of operations at day shift.
Not anymore, man. Now it's your dad. Now you're assistant vice deputy sub head of operations. Rainbow.
I heard you go to college.
Yeah. Pre-vet. But I'm taking a semester off to work with large animals.
You got a large animal she could work with?
Excuse me.
That was a big mistake.
There'd never been a girl in DeRoy like Sylvia. And now that her father was running the mill, she was around all the time, taking care of the old man's horse.
Sylvia rides Reese's horse bareback while Frank looks on, hidden in the bushes. He smiles at her.
I have no idea how to talk to her, so I just polished her saddle.
Frank, polishing the saddle, sees Sylvia jogging through the forest towards him. He quickly runs away, leaving the polish and cloth on the saddle. Sylvia approaches. She frowns as she looks around for the secret polisher. Later, she walks the horse through a meadow. Frank hides in the bushes watching her. The horse is tethered to a post. Frank creeps up and takes the grooming brush from the post and begins grooming the horse.
Thank you.
Sylvia comes out from behind a tree, watching Frank as she does so, and creeps up behind him.
Who hired you to do this?
No one. I mean, if you're not satisfied, you don't have to pay.
I don't have to pay?
Yeah, I mean, no. You don't have to pay.
Who are you?
Frank.
I'm Sylvia.
I know. Everybody knows.
John's car approaches. Frank runs off at the sight of it, handing Sylvia back the brush.
Bye. Johnny Perfecto.
That's right. Listen, there's a blues club on the ridge, and Steam Wheels is playing there tonight. Berkeley Ben. I was thinking maybe you'd want to, if you're into the blues.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. I'll pick you up later, all right?
A group of bikers hang around outside a club. Sylvia and John come out.
July 4th weekend. Maybe 4,000 Harleys come up 101 on the Redwood Run. Might you like to ride with me?
Yeah, maybe.
What's up, Big D? How you doing, brother? You look good, man.
John indicates a wall and they go and sit on it.
So, what's the best thing about DeRoy?
Road out of town. Come on, there's nothing in DeRoy if you want to make something out of your life. You know? Money and respect, prestige.
That's it?
Maybe a beautiful woman on my arm. A woman that I love.
You're full of shit.
If you want something, you gotta set goals and go for it.
Yep. Discipline. Sacrifice. Win the race.
Exactly. People in DeRoy, most people, don't know what that means. I do. I got plans.
I believe you.
John looks very serious as he roughly holds back her hair. Then he slides his hand around the back of her head and leans in to kiss her. She kisses him, then pulls away and kisses him again.
Hey, let's go dance some more, huh?
Okay.
Sylvia dances her way back towards the club with John following, swigging his beer. The next day, wispy clouds float over the green-blue pine trees of DeRoy. Sylvia is on a run through the forest. Frank removes his t-shirt in the early morning sunshine by a lake in the forest. Sylvia creeps up on him. The now naked Frank dives into the lake. He bobs to the surface and swims towards the outstretched arms of a tree's roots overhanging the lake. She smiles to herself. He pulls himself up on an overhanging log. She bobs down behind a fallen tree at the sight of his naked body, covering her mouth to stifle a giggle as she does so. Frank is back on the bank, putting his socks on. He senses company. Sylvia rises slowly to see where he is. He is hiding on the other side of the fallen tree.
You were peeping at me.
I was not.
A lot of spying with you, don't we?
So what have we learned?
What do you mean?
Well, that, people are really themselves when they're by themselves. So did you, see who I really am when you were, you know, sneaking around the corral?
Actually, I've got a list of all your bad habits. It's pretty long. It's really long. It's... So why did you come here?
To find you.
Well, you didn't know I existed before you came to DeRoy.
No, I mean here, not DeRoy here.
Yeah.
Okay, I admit I was a little curious and I saw you headed this way and I followed you. So.
man, I completely forgot. I gotta drive my sister-in-law and her new baby to the doctor's office. I gotta run.
I'll run with you.
It's 3 miles and I'm really late. You can't keep up.
I'll keep up.
Good luck.
The general store?
Frank runs up a hill, glancing back to see Sylvia, but Sylvia appears in front of him as she passes a gigantic redwood trunk, having taken a shortcut. He sprints up behind her. They both come out of the forest and past a logger loading logs onto his truck. Frank stumbles as he runs up a hilly meadow. Sylvia is close behind. They both run up a road. And across a meadow. They hop over a stile and run down a field. They jog over a bridge and up a road. Frank is in front but flagging. Sylvia smiles at him. He checks over his shoulder as to where she is. He smiles at her stamina. She looks back at him. They seem to be competing as she comes level with him and then overtakes him. He staggers the last length, falling into her arms at the general store where John and others sit on the porch. John watches possessively. Frank and Sylvia smile at one another as they catch their breath. She ruffles his hair affectionately. Frank swings on a rope attached to a tree as Sylvia pushes him, smiling. They ride Reese's horse together, smiling happily.
I took Sylvia to places where I'll bet no other humans have been for 100 years.
In the forest, Sylvia and Frank play hide-and-seek amongst the giant redwoods.
I fell in love with her that summer. It was so easy.
Hi, Johnny Perfecto. How are you? Hi. You know Frank? Of course, you guys live in the same town, right? I got our Calistogas. Did we pay?
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
See ya.
God damn their eyes! Rip their friggin' skin off in shreds. Squag-headed pissants! It's a goddamn criminal offense, Joanne! I call them chippers and they're shredded. I miss a month, Joe! Talbot accelerated my loan payments.
At the mill, the trucks are hard at work.
Can I talk to you?
This isn't the time, Johnny. Mill's going to hell, or haven't you heard?
Well, yeah. Look, I worked here for 7 years. I know the ins and outs of this place. But then you bring in some expert who doesn't have a clue about the men or how this place really runs.
Really runs? It runs the way I made it run. Now, don't grind me, Johnny. You read the news or just the sports. I hired Orsini because he manages men. You drive them.
The old man was desperate, so he went into the woods, to the trees, to talk to his father.
Did you tell me how to hold this town together? No. And now I'm stretched as thin as I can go. Do you hear me? Talk to me.
A plaque to his father is nailed on a towering tree, the size and shape of a small house.
I put you under the best goddamn tree out here. I want you to live forever. In the hardwood. I know you're in there somewhere. If I don't hold this town together, it'll die. Nobody'll know we ever existed. They'll cut you down, Pa!
A blue-black raven flies out of the trees towards Risa. It flies around the back of the massive heartwood tree.
Can't you just visit me in a dream or something?
The folds of pine-covered hills roll off into the distance.
I put all I had into the mill. We got squeezed, and I can't subsidize it any longer. I'm tapped. I'm sorry, all of you.
A cut in two-thirds pay goes for management as well. And we can be in the black. It'll take 4 months. In the first place, the profit's going to go is into full salaries. For everyone, right?
Absolutely.
For Christ's sake, Logan, you know I'm with you on everything, but this ain't going to work. You gotta cut that old grove. It is high grade, clear, top dollar. You know, God put trees on this earth, and he showed us how to cut them. And I don't believe all those people that say we're gonna use them all up. They grow. We cut, they grow some more. It's not like coal or oil. You know, and if the last redwood gets cut down while I'm still alive, I'm not gonna shed a tear because it is survival of the fittest. And the ones that cut are fitter than those that get cut. Now, hell, that ain't a hard thing to understand.
No, it isn't. All I gotta do is think like a goddamn dinosaur in a duck pond, back this whole town into extinction. Not gonna do it.
Logan.
Where's Sylvia?
She's up there talking to a young man. I've met him.
That guy that your daughter's talking with is Carl Bursa's son, Frank. Brother to the twin idiots. You won't know who he is because he doesn't work at the mill. In fact, he doesn't work anywhere. He thinks he's an Indian.
My little brother? You know him, kinda. Rick Shane the Face. Remember?
If you had stayed in college, you'd be in New Orleans this week breaking the 10K record.
Dad, what are you doing? You're embarrassing
me. No, you are the one who's embarrassing me. Now, I am trying to gain the trust of my men, and you choose the town bum to pal around with?
Frank, who has overheard, is held back by Risa as Joe's wife leads him away from Sylvia.
What makes being a millhand so goddamn great?
I didn't say it is.
Okay, then let me work there.
You at the mill? It's not you, Frank.
One at a time, smooth, just like that. What's that? That's nothing. You can't ship them like that. Understand? Come on. Over here now. Three of them. I don't see. That's too frank. All right, forget it. Let's see if we can find something you can do. All yours, guys.
Johnny picks up an oil can and checks his watch.
How do you oil a chain without oil? Come on.
Frank takes the oil can and begins oiling the links of a huge chain. He struggles to reach the higher links. The oil pours from the top of the can all over Frank's head. Their brothers then throw down wood chippings that stick to the oil on his head. Frank is sweeping up as Joe approaches.
Frank! Get yourself some steel-toed boots. Some better work gloves. Where's your hard hat?
Frank pointedly grabs the hard hat and rams it on his head before continuing to sweep. Frank walks home through the fading evening light down a deserted road. The next day, the huge pincers of a machine drop logs onto a growing pile. A giant round saw is wheeled toward the mill.
Need you on the phone. Just do what I said. Don't improve on it. You don't belong here, butts up.
Johnny jabs Frank in the stomach with a plank of wood as they unload them from a conveyor belt. Frank, his jaw tense, goes to the other end of the planks. Johnny slides one up forcefully. Frank removes his fingers just in time before removing his hard hat and throwing it at Johnny. Frank storms off. Johnny looks pleased.
Don't blame this on me, Frank. You waltz into the mill too good or too weird to work. You give me half effort, then you freak out at every little thing. You didn't break any records then, but you sure as hell set the bet. Time to move on.
Dad, stop! What are you doing?
I mean, last year in Sacramento, right, there was this creepy guy who was stalking you.
Well, you and your mom seem to have forgotten all about it. Well, I haven't, and I can't. I mean, it still haunts me. And this guy, Frank, I mean, he's some kind of strange backwoods loner.
Joe.
Honey, even his own brothers think he's weird.
Sweetheart, all I'm saying is you gotta be careful, okay?
For Christ's sake, Frank, you think this is some Romeo and Juliet struggle? You already got the girl. Anyone can see that. Oh, my God, man.
When you shot Talbot, I thought you were the hero at the center of the storm. But now I see you are the storm.
Frank enters Reese's old caravan. Shortly after, Sylvia runs down a slope and into the caravan also. She searches for Frank and finds him under a duvet on a makeshift bed.
Frank! Frank! My father said you'd be arrested if you...
Baby.
They all believe you're crazy,
run
Frank!
Run away with me. Look, we can take care of ourselves. Baby, I can do it. I can take us anywhere. And if you want to be a vet, then I'll flip burgers if that's what it takes.
But I want you and my family, Frank.
It'll never happen that way.
It can.
No.
They only want what's best.
What they want is someone better than me. God, come away with me, Sylvia, please.
I can't.
Look, I want you. That's all I want.
I want more.
Sylvia, wait. Sylvia, wait. Look, we can make it. I know we can.
I know we can, too.
Look, I'll do anything for you.
Anything? Then go slow, Frank. My daddy, it's like... My father's like a wild horse. You move fast and he bolts, but you move slow and he gentles like that, Frank.
No, no. This is what you do. When you get trapped, you make a break for it. You run, you get somewhere.
I run, but I don't run away.
Then you really don't care about me.
Then you really don't know me.
Sylvia gives Frank a hard look before walking away, leaving him to run his hands through his hair in frustration. Back at Sylvia's house, her mother works at the sewing machine as she bursts through the front door. She flops onto the sofa beside her mother.
Dad was right. I'm not going to stay in DeRoy. I'm going back to school.
Frank is distraught as he runs wildly through the forest in a mist of rain, running his hands through his hair. He wades through the ferns to the cavernous doorway of a giant tree created by a slit in the trunk. He pauses for a while before stepping into an abyss. He has fallen into a pool of water. Water trickles down the mossy sides of the tree. Frank looks shocked as he wades to the edge, over the pebble-covered floor. He is startled by a bird flying overhead. Peering into the crystal-clear water, he sees something glinting up at him. He reaches into the water and pulls out a massive chunk of gold.
God.
He tests it with his teeth, and hardly able to believe it, he holds it close to him and begins to wade through the water. Back in his caravan, he has changed into dry clothes. A nugget breaks away from the huge chunk he carries, and he puts this in his pocket and the rest in his rucksack.
You know damn well, Logan, that this hip does not bother me.
Now, Carl, slow down. Listen to me. We can't fight the insurance company. The benefits panel ordered us to put you on disability at the end of the month. I'm sorry, but we'll find something else.
There isn't anything else.
Where's your helmet?
Oh, hell.
I gotta get to Sylvia.
No. Our old man don't want you around her, all right?
I know that, but I'm in, Sheriff. I mean, I'm different. She's gonna be different. I've got something, and I...
Oh, you got swole up glands. I was in love like that once. I was 17. She was a lot older. One whiff of her, and I was a puddle.
You know, we wore the same size boots.
Oh! Sheriff, I apologize. I apologize for running away, for bothering the Orsinis, but I found something. I know you say there's no accidents. Well, I found a gold nugget.
Jesus Christ, no, you did not. Let me see it. Come on, follow me.
Of course I'm sure. This will assay out over 98 fine. And if it's better than an ounce, you got more than $400 in the palm of your hand. Don't ever sell it. Something this big is good luck. I mean it. No prospector would ever sell a nugget, except he's busted. You sell dust, you keep nuggets. Where'd you find this?
No! There's no gold left up there. Water cannon washed it all out of those hills 70 years ago. If you stay out of those mines, I should have had them filled up.
But what if there's enough for the mill? I mean, this is only a little...
No! No more!
You don't think I didn't look for gold up there? When I got back from the war, I blasted, I dug. Christ, everyone in this town has. You shouldn't have told us anything.
But what if...
No, you found nothing! Am I right? No. No, you're not. You're living and dying in the past. Trapped by an old nightmare. Afraid to find yourself after all. You tell anyone. You bring the mountain down on all of us. You love this town, do you? Well, word gets out. There'll be 10,000 yahoos tromping through here. And they'll boom us, and they'll bust us. Now, you put that in your pocket. And get real quiet, boy. Might be good luck for you, but it's bad luck for everyone else.
Frank is in the highest part of his treehouse, examining the huge piece of gold from his rucksack. He looks warily about him as he places it in a special mossy nook in the branches. Frank approaches a woman on his motorcycle and inquires something of her. She points, and he turns his bike in that direction. He travels down the road into Mendocino County and past a sign saying Eureka 12 miles. Sylvia limbers up with some other girls on a running track. Frank approaches on his motorcycle. A rainbow arcs across the sky behind him. He parks up and walks towards her.
I apologize. I mean, everything will be better now. I promise. God, I did everything wrong. All the way down here, I kept thinking about how you can find just that one thing that means more to your life than anything else, and it had to happen to you right then and there, or else you lose what you really wanted, because otherwise you'd be another person in another life in another place, and everything that you dreamt about wouldn't exist except for that one thing. That one thing, and that's you, Sylvia. Oh, that's you. I lost you, and then I found you in the bottom of a creek bed where I fell down, and now everything has changed. Oh, I wish I could tell you. Your father, I can deal. The mill, I can deal. You want patience? I've got all the patience in the world. I know our future. Come back to DeRoy with me.
You hurt me. With all that talk of running away. And then I ran away.
Yeah, well, I'm not running away now. I know exactly what to do.
They cling to one another, kissing passionately. Later, Frank stands before Joe, who paces up and down.
Look, I accept your apology, but no. You log for one of the small contractors. You show me something.
Then we'll talk. That's it. I gotta get back to the mill.
But I wasn't prepared before, sir. But I am now. I let them get to me, but they won't anymore.
The men file in for work at the mill.
Whoa, Frank! Man, but the Perfecto Zizi in those new clothes, he's gonna stick you right with the sap sprays for sure.
Don't take no shit off Johnny, Frank. Me? Kick his ass till he fired me? And I'd kick it again till he hired me back.
Jim, clean this stuff up. Come on.
I'm gonna do what you tell me to do because you're the boss. That's it. Don't mess with me like you did before. You don't have to like me to be a good boss.
Be a good boss. Yes, right. I should be the very best boss I can.
Ooh.
Let me instruct you in the ways of wood and lumber. Ha. Trying to prove something to her old man, but it ain't there, nature boy.
They fight with wooden staffs. Johnny jabs Frank in the stomach.
Not bad, Frank.
Fight.
Johnny spins his baton like a martial arts weapon and they continue to fight. Johnny smashes his staff down on Frank's, snapping Frank's in half. Frank forces Johnny back with two sticks, holding one of the splintered ends to his throat.
That's it for fun and games. Get back to work, you slack shit bastards! I want you to bring the rest of 10-footers. I want them stacked now. I want it perfect.
You did it, son.
Good.
Frank works more quickly and efficiently now, stacking the 10-foot lengths in a neat pile. He gesticulates to his working partner to stop for a minute while he slides the platform closer to them, making their job a bit easier. The partner pats him on the shoulder. The men chat and laugh on a lunch break about Frank's improvements. Joe is talking to Risa.
Don't start smiling at me, Logan. We've had one good month and we're not out of the woods yet.
We will be. Then I go back to Talbot.
Hey, Ray.
Yes, sir.
Are you stacking this?
Wasn't my idea. My brother's.
What, Mike's?
No, Frank. Frank's idea.
Sorry to see you go, Carl.
Maybe I'll take up golf.
Hey, Frank, that idea you had about pivoting those 2x units 90 degrees? Right on the money.
Thanks.
Frank grins. Pleased with himself, he skips down the steps with his pay packet. Later that evening, Carl pulls up with Frank's two brothers in the truck. The mood is jubilant.
Where'd they be? What's going on?
Don't worry, you'll see. Don't worry.
Come on in the house. Get in there.
$54 million lottery tomorrow, and we've got 1,000 chances to win.
That's over $8 million for each of us, ain't it? Including you, Robin Hood.
Our mortgage money. You took it.
Shut up. When you're in the hole as far as I am, you gotta take a chance. You gotta force the odds your way.
I guarded that money. You had no right.
God, woman, don't you bring me down. This is what I'm risking it all for. This.
Dad. If the lottery's that big, then they sold maybe 100 million tickets. You buy one, you got one chance in 100 million. You buy 1,000, you still only got one chance in 100,000.
What are you talking about, Frank?
I will tell you what. He knows what he's talking about.
Who the hell do you think you are? You goddamn jinx! Woman, you put those back in the bag and you guard them!
The two dim brothers begin putting all the lottery tickets back in the paper bag.
We owe them. They raised us as good as they could.
I say our next paychecks go into Mom's kitty until they get caught up. This ain't asking.
Frank approaches his father, who sits outside, his head in his hands.
Dad. Mike and Ray and me, we're going to cover the mortgage. Don't worry. If you win the lottery, it'll be great. Look, you've worked hard for this family. Nobody could have worked harder. But you don't have to worry anymore. I mean, we can take care of ourselves.
It's daytime, and Frank sits in his treehouse, hugging the huge hunk of gold. Sylvia approaches, riding bareback across the meadow. She wears a floral dress and her hair flows out behind her. Frank climbs down from the tree and runs towards her.
Like in life someday.
No, Silly, I mean today, now.
Something's happening today. I feel this moving fire. And it has something to do with the nugget I found.
The nugget? Right. Do you know a place where we could go to be alone? Very alone?
I do.
They walk through the sun-dappled forest of giant redwood, like pixies in an enchanted fairy tale wood, dwarfed by their majesty. Luscious green ferns bend toward the babbling brooks. Sylvia and Frank make their way under fallen tree trunks on the bank of a stream to a waterfall.
Wow. This is like through the looking glass. It's like a dream.
I love it here.
Frank and Sylvia run towards the falling water. They run under it. Sylvia jumps up onto a rock to reach Frank more easily. She flings her arms around him in childish excitement, kissing him all the while. They are both soaking wet and their clothes stick to them. They laugh and smile at one another. Frank appears bare-chested from behind a tree trunk. He looks shyly at the naked Sylvia, who peers coyly over her shoulder. He goes to her. They kiss passionately, framed by the forest ferns.
Can I do that?
Brush my hair? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I may never have to sell it.
What in the world are you talking about?
And someday, I'll give it to you.
Later, Frank's truck pulls into town with Sylvia's legs hanging out of the passenger window, tapping to the rhythm of the music. Johnny stands by his motorcycle. His jaw tightens at the sight of them. He suddenly grabs the phone and starts dialing.
Talbot, it's Johnny. I don't give a goddamn if it's your Sunday. I've had it. Now, this is moving too slow. Yeah, you're old Johnny, you're gonna run the mill someday, but... Hell no, output is up, and Logan has got... Wait a minute. That was not part... You bastard.
Back in the mill, Frank stacks wood. Joe approaches.
Frank!
Joe leads Frank away. Frank skips down the steps to his brothers, who are larking about. He looks pleased with himself.
You know what? You guys gotta teach me what Chuck's job is all about. Orsini just promoted it.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Man, you owe me 10!
I bet him you get promoted before we would.
We're the Burris family jackpot.
Oh, sure, yeah, right, and Frank's a perfect son.
Yeah. Well, he is. And here's why.
I mean, we all come from the same mom and dad and sperm and stuff, right? But Frank takes whatever, see? I mean, this is like us. And Dixon, too.
What the hell are you talking about?
Shut up. I'm on a roll here. Frank takes ordinary births, like you and me, and ideas and shit, and comes up with something different from things that are the same. Don't you get it?
No. I do. Jesus, Mike, that's brilliant. I got it.
I've got to talk to Dixon.
Work continues as normal. Johnny skulks through the factory looking suspicious. He passes Frank's brothers hard at work. He quickly enters a machine building and goes down under the workings. Looking around him, he takes out a screwdriver and makes an adjustment. He tucks the tool into his back pocket and strolls out. He looks around cautiously. A machine behind him rolls forward on steel tracks, but doesn't stop, and like a train, smashes into the end, sending orange sparks and smoke flying into the air and all the men into action. Johnny stands on the bridge above.
Safety check. Anybody hurt? Everybody okay?
This is where it started. Logan. This nut.
Yeah.
Has been meth.
Gentlemen, you're working. I'll make this quick. You want to fix your head rig? Here's the money. You can add it to the back end of your loan. But the terms are different than they were a while ago. Lumber's down, insurance rates are up, and it's not 4 months ago, Risa. It's now.
Risa takes the check from Talbot. He looks at it and sighs. He turns to look at Joe, who shakes his head. Risa looks back to Talbot and hands the check back. Talbot sighs and nods.
That night, I got the greatest idea of my life. The answer was right in front of me.
I bet there's about 100 things you can make out of these eyes and nose. And they'd write it up in Popular Mechanics.
Don't mess with me, Frank.
Frank shows his drawing of children's climbing frames to Risa.
My head rig's down, Frank. I don't have time for this.
Anybody can make a hell of a lot of money selling a wood product instead of raw lumber. But it's called value added, but you're leaving out 90% of what makes business business. Design, production, marketing. Ready? Packaging, inventory, pricing, competition. Oh, and what about money? Yeah, working capital is like oxygen. You gotta have it. As I recall, you barely graduated high school, Frank.
How do I find out what those words mean?
Nah, give me the book. Come on, give me.
Nope. My brother and I've got too much work to do tonight.
It's very early morning and the sky is streaked with purple-pink clouds. A glow is just beginning to brighten the sky on the horizon. Sylvia and Frank stand talking beside a truck with the wooden climbing frame strapped to it. The truck and trailer travel across a long bridge. The tarpaulin covering the frame billows out behind. They enter a town. Frank and Sylvia sit by a phone booth. Sylvia holds the yellow pages.
Yeah, I know, but this is an absolutely incredible... What? All right. Fine. Yeah, thanks for your time.
Here. Try this one.
Sylvia hands Frank another coin. Frank dials again. He's wearing a tie and shirt, and his hair is combed flat into a side parting. They pull up outside a huge skyscraper.
My mom always says to use the bathroom in the best buildings.
That's financial district.
Time to get financial.
Frank!
Oh!
We had to leave early. Probably tomorrow. No, he didn't steal the truck. Okay, Mom, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, yeah, I'll get Sam.
What'd she say?
She just wishes that we would have told her and...
No, working capital's no problem, Ted.
Behind her back.
The transaction's complete, the product's designed, and manufacturing all laid out. Inventory's not a problem. No, hey, Stan. No, you underpriced competition. No, listen, Stan, you can't crank this through a spreadsheet. You're talking to the hunch man. You're talking to me, Jordan. Okay? Talk to you five. Bye.
Hello. My name is Frank Burris, and this is my fiancée, Sylvia Orsini. I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. Do you know anything about the lumber business, Mr...
Barrett. Jordan Barrett. Is that a gold nugget?
Yeah.
I like the feel of this. Lumber business, huh?
My godfather owns a big sawmill and thousands of acres of prime timber up in the Redwoods. But he's got another transaction coming up soon, so he asked me to come to town to set up some introductions for him.
Really?
Yes, sir. He's going to save our town.
Why don't you come upstairs and I'll show you around?
Sure. This is actually where it all happened.
Yes. Okay. That's right. Kroger, pick up five.
People, make your calls. We've got to get this trade done. Now pick up those phones and make your goddamn calls.
Bobby, I got Orchard to buy. I got 350,000 shares on a cleanup.
Good work, CJ. That's it. We're done. I'm crossing 1,060,000 shares of Orchard Supply Hardware. The price is 29 and a quarter. I'm clean and a buyer. I am Orchard Supply Hardware. I'm huge.
Orchard Supply Hardware. You know anyone at Orchard Supply?
Yes. I do.
Just take one look outside, Mr. Harmon. If you don't like what you see, as I told Mr. Barrett, you can get on the elevator and go right back upstairs.
Outside, the tarpaulin has come off the play frames and is swarming with children playing on it. Sylvia stands grinning beside it.
So, you girls like it?
Yeah. Okay, you got an order for 10,000 units. I want 1,000 a month starting in 4 months. You have working capital, don't you?
No problem, Mr. Harmon.
If I'm putting you into our stores, you got to guarantee production. I'll fly up tomorrow afternoon.
I am crossing 10,000 Deloitte plate structures. I am Deloitte plate structures. I'm huge.
You are huge.
Well, how do we handle the working capital? What do you think?
Most maybe 100, 150,000. Let me take a look at Dixon's drawings.
Yeah, at least, but I don't have nothing like it in the bank. Won't advance us on a new project.
Mr. Talbot is here. With deputy.
Serve the papers.
Oh, budge out! Why don't you?
Sorry, Logan. It's either me or some U.S. Marshal.
We don't need Talbot. I've got the money covered.
Sheriff, shut him down.
We can get the money from Harmon and Barrett. I've seen it in their eyes.
Deputy, will you do what you're paid to do?
The deputy rips up the documents.
Deputy?
This will cost you your job.
It's not a job. It's an adventure.
Mega Frank hella cool or what, baby?
Look, I'm glad too, but I don't know what you mean by you have it covered.
What do you mean?
The money. The working capital. Remember? Harmon specifically said that Orchard Supply wouldn't give us the money. He lied, Frank.
Sort of. But not really. I'm the one with the money.
You?
Well, I guess it's time to bring my gold in. I mean, I wasn't going to let it out of my hands, except for you, but now I got it.
The little nugget you found in Regis?
No. It's a big nugget. Huge. I'm going to borrow against it. Maybe get 100,000, maybe more. Easy.
First we tell Dixon, then I'll take you to the treehouse and I'll show you.
Johnny has overheard the conversation and sprints away from the building and toward the treehouse.
Before you were playing in this tree, Frankie boy, I was playing here with Big Brother Dixon.
Johnny hangs from the climbing rope, struggling to scale the trunk. His movements dislodge the nugget, which falls from its resting place. It hits Johnny on the way down and ends up hidden in the leaves and mulch on the ground. Johnny falls back down to the ground. On hearing Frank, he limps away, leaving the nugget lost to the undergrowth.
You're gonna be blown away.
Sylvia goes to kiss Frank, but he looks disturbed and distracted.
What?
Something's different.
He begins to climb the tree.
It's gone!
What's the matter? What happened?
Messed up, Logan. Bad. Really bad.
Frank races down the hill. Sylvia raises her hands in bewilderment as she follows him down.
Wait! Frank! We'll find it, Frank!
It's the gold. Got me again. Good boy.
Gonna make it happen.
Somehow, I lost it. But Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's it. That's it.
Logan's wife comforts him. Sylvia strokes Frank's arm. Frank looks mortified at Logan's disappointment and runs from the room. She goes after him. Frank lashes out. Sylvia continues to chase him up through the trees.
Let's go talk to your father.
Logan takes his wife's hand and rises wearily. She helps him up. Meanwhile, Frank runs wildly through some long grass. Sylvia is close behind him.
I never should have let anyone, not even Frank.
Yes, you should. He's going to carry on and be a leader someday. You'll see.
No, it's just me. I made too many mistakes. I should have left here.
You blame yourself.
He was too old to climb around that mine. When I fell, he should have left me.
He doesn't blame you. He wanted you to live. Simple as that.
Oh, damn it, Jack. This place needed you.
He was good with trees. Nobody knew trees like him. But you are good with people, Logan. You made DeRoy a family. Including me. The Jackal. Forgive him for saving your life. Let your papa rest.
Logan closes his eyes tightly. He cups his wife's face tenderly and then takes her in his arms. Meanwhile, Sylvia has overtaken Frank and they run across a ridge.
Catch me. Now, Frank! Now!
Frank easily overtakes Sylvia. She smiles. He slows down, reaching out his hand to take hers. They are dirty and dusty.
Never done that before.
Everything's inside, Frank. Nugget's gone. It doesn't matter. I still love you. Need any more proof than that?
You want to be huge one more time?
She falls into his arms. He holds her tightly.
What?
Come here.
Frank and Sylvia run along the porch of the general store and stop the deputy as he drives by.
Kel, how much money you got?
About $20.
I mean, all in. Mattresses, cookie jars, come on, savings accounts.
Maybe enough for a down payment on something I want. Why?
What, 2003?
Maybe.
After my husband left, somebody offered me $5,000 for this old coin collection. Gotta be worth more now.
Thanks.
If you're in, I'm in too.
Oh, hell, Val. Borrow it all to him. Mm. I like it here. I don't want to leave.
All right.
Frank and Sylvia plan whose house they will visit next.
It's amazing what you've raised, but you're still $80,000 short.
Well, who else is there? I mean, we've asked everyone who might. Some people have even called family that don't even live here. But everyone who's involved, I mean,
hey,
everyone.
Frank, Hartman's going to be here in 10 minutes.
Everyone. Not everyone. Tell my dad to pull it over at the ridge and meet me there. Get all the people in town to meet me at the store and tell them that they can be proud and it's going to work. Find Logan. Come with me, Sylvia.
Frank wants you just to pull over at the ridge and wait for him. Yeah, okay. Hey, Johnny! Johnny, come here! What's wrong with him?
They speed off on Frank's motorbike. Johnny limps over to Joe's house.
This will need stitches. I'll be right back.
I'll see that he gets to the hospital in Willits.
Good.
Bill takes care of its own, don't we, Johnny? You know that 10 grand you've been saving up for that really, really fast boat? I want to talk to you about that. First, I want to tell you my theory about how the head rig got derailed.
Frank meets Mr. Harmon and Mr. Barrett on the side of the road on a hill overlooking the town.
That's Deroy. I mean, everybody down there lives there. I mean, really lives there. And we work there, I mean, as hard as anybody on Earth. Look, you see the general store up there to the left? All the people down there are behind this project, but we don't have enough money. Mr. Harmon, we need some credit.
What? That's not the terms we agreed.
You ordered 10,000 play structures because you saw that we had a good product at a good price. Now that's good business, right? But for us, for DeRoy, well, there's one thing more. I mean, with this work, we get to live and stay together and be a town.
Mr. Harmon, Mr. Barrett, in the last few hours, we've talked to just about everyone in town. And now we have almost enough working capital to deliver that order.
We almost do. Almost. And we're in the race, and the race is down to the end. But we need you running with us. Look, you're going to decide what you want to do. But for us, for me, for my father, for DeRoy, even for you, they're the chance for us to be the heroes of our own lives. Now, we're short by half, maybe 80,000.
The sheriff's car pulls up to an ever-growing crowd gathered outside the general store. Logan climbs out of his Jeep. The atmosphere is that of a social get-together with people chatting and laughing. Frank rides into town on his motorbike, followed by his father. Sylvia gets out of the car and hugs Logan jubilantly.
How's the arm, Johnny?
I'm gonna live.
Good.
I got something for you.
What's that?
Some cash.
Mr. Easton, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I think we'll work something out.
Oh, that's
Greg Harmon.
Greg?
Pleasure.
All right.
Excuse me.
All right.
There's something happening in this town.
Now, either you back these kids and their town, or I will.
Barrett looks about him and then nods. A long trestle table surrounded by log seats nestles on the forest floor, the great redwoods towering above it creating a soft green canopy. The tables are filled with all the townsfolk, and Frank and Sylvia arrive in wedding attire and walk to the head of the table. Logan walks up onto a platform to address the crowd.
Countrymen, lend me, I'm not going to borrow any. In fact, in the last 4 years, from down to up, from way down to way up, well, it was your loans and your hard work that gave us the chance. Well, we made the last payment this morning. Now, I'm going to give it all back to you, to each and every one of you who kept the mill and the town and me alive. It's yours. The mill is yours. You own it, you earned it, and that's our present to Sylvia and to Frank and to the whole town. Woo!
Three cheers for Jay Reeser!
Everyone is dancing in the forest. Sylvia and Frank smile and chatter with one another as they dance.
And a toast.
Frank and Sylvia interlink arms to drink their champagne.
Wait, don't forget your ring.
Oh.
Sylvia drops her ring into the cake as a crow flies overhead.
Frank, I dropped your ring. I think that's supposed to be bad luck forever.
I don't think so, baby. In fact, I think I know where our gold nugget is.
Frank climbs down from the playframe and lifts Sylvia down. They run off into the forest.
Hey, we got a party over here. Where are you going?
Logan Reeser died a few years after our wedding, and I buried him, like he asked, under his tree, without a casket. He's still there, but the corporados have their chainsaws aimed at the last of those giant trees. 500 years ago, there were 1 billion acres of forest stretched across America. Today, only 4% remain. I believe in private property, but there's got to be a way for the people to protect what's irreplaceable. I'll do my part. Because someday I intend to be buried under a tree not far from Reeser's, without a casket. And I'll get drawn up through those roots. And I'll live forever in the heartwood.
The end.